Welcome back to another episode of Nerd Tweeting in a Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you so much for joining me, and I do apologize for not having an episode for you guys last week. It was a very busy weekend, and I just couldn't get around to getting the episode done. So my apologies, especially to you, Duffy Boys Comics. I know you were particularly upset that I didn't get an episode out for you. However, I am back. Today, we're going to talk predominantly about The Book of Boba Fett and Peacemaker, two shows running right now on Disney Plus as well as HBO Max. If you like multi-fandom content like Marvel, DC, movies, pretty much anything besides Doctor Who, because I just never could get into it, this is the podcast for you. I do current events, my theories, which have all been almost damn near perfectly correct, as well as breaking news and anything else nerdy. So if you're feeling froggy, why don't you go ahead and like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff for the algorithms so you can keep up with all the great content as well as others. Now, we're going to jump right into The Book of Boba Fett. Now, if you have not seen the newest episode of Book of Boba Fett, you are going to want to come back to this episode later and hear my take on it. However, it is past the 48-hour spoiler ban that Nerdtween puts out there, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. So this book episode of Book of Boba Fett was called The Return of the Mandalorian, and it is centered on Din Djarin, the Mandalorian from The Mandalorian Season 1 and 2, and it was directed by Brooke Dallas Howard, who also directed a whole bunch of episodes, a few episodes for The Mandalorian. Now, this episode was by far the best episode of the series so far, and that is a huge problem. Why, you ask? Did I not love the episode? Absolutely. I thought it was amazing. It was one of my favorite pieces of Star Wars that I've gotten so far from this new Disney property run. However, the problem is, this is the Book of Boba Fett, and Boba Fett was not in this episode at all, only mentioned at the very last minute. And for this episode to be hailed by a lot of people, I've been seeing a lot of people so happy about this episode, shows a huge problem. Because this is not The Mandalorian Season 3, which we're all waiting for. This is The Book of Boba Fett. So for a series that I have had high hopes for, I love the first couple episodes, then little by little, I've started to like it a little bit less. And to have this show up now to be this amazing episode, I think it shows just how in trouble the Book of Boba Fett is. It feels like if there isn't a massive appearance by some character, whether it be Black Karasta, the Black Chewbacca, the Black Wookiee bounty hunter who first appeared in the comics, who is good friends with Dr. Aphra in the comics, or, you know, a Rancor and Danny Trejo. It seems like it's just not that entertaining of a show. I feel like we all wanted this show to be like the Book of Boba Fett and it to be cool. Like, Boba Fett has always been this really cool character, and I feel like this series has dimmed that a little bit. And of course, the series isn't over, so it could pick up down the road with the next episodes coming up. Now, it's definitely going to be a great episode, but if you think about it, okay, so this episode was so good. It starred the Mandalorian, and I have a theory about something in the episode that we'll talk about a little bit later, but this was so good. The next episode, I would imagine, based on how it left off, that we're going to have Grogu and possibly Luke and people like that show up, which will make it another fantastic episode, but it won't be because of Boba Fett. And that's a problem. Again, and I'm not upset. Like, I don't dislike the series. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that I expected it to be better, and now my my fears have been realized with this amazing episode that had nothing to do with Boba Fett. And I think that is a sign of what's to come. I mean, I feel like, yeah, Boba Fett's here. Boba Fett's great, but he's just an ancillary character now. It was awesome seeing him get out of the Sarlacc, almost exactly how Patton Oswalt said it would happen in that episode of Parks and Rec. I just feel like it was all of the cameos earlier in the series that got me happy. Like, I was excited about it. And then as it progressed, I mean, the episode with the Tuskens was amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. I absolutely loved it. And I found out later that Colt from Three Ninjas from my childhood is actually one of those Tusken Raiders. And I think that's pretty cool. And I mean, great. Like, again, you think about the Pikes. I'm pretty sure it's the first time we've seen Pikes in live action. And it was a lot of people that just kind of just showed up that was like, yeah, this is cool. And then it was all about Boba Fett. And we're like, well, wait a minute, this is kind of boring. And I'm sorry, we need to get Bryce Dallas Howard her own whatever in Star Wars, because she just absolutely gets it. Like, every time she directs episodes, it's some of the best episodes of the season, and there are always great directors who are doing these episodes. So that's saying something. Now, let's talk about that N1 fighter that was built for Din Djarin by, I always forget her name, the woman on Tatooine that is always fixing stuff. I don't have my notes together for this. I do apologize. But now, while it's an amazing ship and they did a lot to it, it had like this like antique hot rod feel to it, which was pretty cool. And it, hands down, it's a great ship. I mean, it's fast, and it looks like they fitted it with weaponry that was far superior to what the initial Naboo fighters had. And it was, I did like the little Jawa. If you look at Din Djarin's character arc, like, he hated Jawas initially, he hated droids initially, and here he is like complimenting that BT unit. And I don't think that's the same BT-1 from the Fallen Order game. I just think it's just another one of those. And it was great to see that too. But here he is, like, saying, hey, where does this go? Thanks, bud. Like, that's not something you would have seen in the beginning of this character's arc that we saw. So it shows a great bit of character development. And we're going to circle back to the Darksaber in a second, but I want to talk about that fighter. I believe it's Obi-Wan Kenobi's fighter. At the end of Revenge of the Sith, where Leia and Luke were born, there were a ton of those Naboo N1 starfighters there on the base. Now, it's not really implied in the episode where she got that N1 fighter, but does say later that the sands of Tatooine are like a like treasure trove, almost insinuating that she found it in the sands. And if that's the case, it's Obi-Wan's. Well, it's not necessarily Obi-Wan's, because he didn't really have a Naboo fighter, but he would have had access to one at the end of Revenge of the Sith. And that could have been what he used to transport Luke to Tatooine to hand over to his uncle Lars. So I feel like if that is the case, we'll see him crash landing or landing in the sands in the beginning of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, which I would love to see. And I'm telling you, Dr. Aphra's right around the corner somewhere. I mean, there's no way we're not getting Dr. Aphra. So you better load up on those Vader 3s. But let's talk about the Darksaber. Now, I do really enjoy the fact that Din is struggling to use the Darksaber, because it is this very powerful weapon. And it's not for the faint of heart. It's not like a regular lightsaber that you just can pick up and wield. It has almost a mind of its own, and to see him struggling with it is refreshing. And I have a feeling that Luke is going to help him resolve that issue. And I really honestly hope we don't see Luke. I would really hope, like, Luke's out on a mission and Ahsoka's there. Like, I just don't feel like Luke would add too much to the Book of Boba Fett. I mean, think about it. Last time Luke saw Boba Fett, he almost killed him. Like, well, sure, Harrison, Han Solo technically almost did, but it was his actions that directly led to that. So I feel like his appearance in this series would not be necessarily a welcome one. But I feel, like I said, I feel like there's a big problem here that the best episode of the season, Boba Fett wasn't in it. So that's my take. Again, I'm looking forward to next week's episode. I'm sure we're going to get to see Grogu again. And, of course, so many people, including myself, want to see that. I am looking forward to it. And I think it's funny also that they asked him if he took off his mask and he said yes. I feel like he should have given them some context. Like, yes, I took off my mask, my helmet, but it was so that my foundling would go with, like, so I can finish my mission. I was following my creed and delivering the child to his people, but he wouldn't go. Like, he wanted to see his face. And I don't blame, I mean, granted, Grogu's 50, but in the lifespan of this being, like, Yoda was 900 by the events of the original trilogy, so he's still a baby. I mean, to trust that, I feel like that's something that should have happened for the child. But we'll see, and we'll probably see him next episode. And I would not be surprised if in the time that's spanned, he looks like a teenager and talking. And I don't know if he would talk back like the Yoda speak, but it'd be so cool if he's like a teenager. Like, that'd be just amazing. God, I would love that. I kind of prophesized that. I theorize, excuse me, that the Mandalorian season 3 is going to be them retaking Mandalore, and right before Mando about to die, Grogu's gonna show up and help save the day, as like a not necessarily a trained Jedi, but like a strong Jedi, or at least an apprentice that had good balance with the Force and was able to change the tide. But that's my spiel on the Book of Boba Fett for this week. The Mandalorian was fantastic. Love seeing him again. But I think it spells some terrible things in the future for this series. This is probably a one-off, and it won't be continued after this, which very much could have... It definitely could have a longer run, I think, if they would have gone a different direction. But that being said, we're going to take a quick little break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Peacemaker. Welcome back. So, as promised, we're going to talk about Peacemaker, the amazing series on HBO Max from James Gunn. It's a spinoff of The Suicide Squad, which was a fantastic movie in and of itself, but it spun off this series, and I have been honestly blown away. I'm not going to really do like a full breakdown. I'm just going to do it's almost like a review at this point. Honestly, it's just been amazing. And I was expecting to like it, but I didn't realize how much I would like it. And, excuse me, from the very opening, that opening dance number and song, I don't skip it. I skip almost every intro at this point besides, like, Batman the Animated Series. And honestly, this. Like, there's only a couple that I actually don't skip. It's just they're just amazing, and I let it play every time, and this is definitely one of them. John Cena is by far a much better actor than I gave him credit for. His range in this series has been nothing short of spectacular. He has these funny moments, these action scenes, and then real heart. I mean, I've been surprised. He is a very talented actor, and he's not a quote-unquote wrestler who acts. He is an actor, and I am so happy that he's done so well with this. Initially from the trailers, I wasn't feeling Vigilante. I just didn't think it was a very good take on the character. I was 100% wrong. This take of Vigilante is just perfect. There's every single character in this show who is not a bad guy, basically, I've loved, and I just can't get enough of. I like the twist that the new girl is Amanda Waller's daughter. I really enjoy that little spin there, that even Amanda Waller will use even her daughter to get her her tasks done. It's really refreshing to have a series that takes itself seriously while making a complete joke of it. It's a really hard line to walk, and Peacemaker does it fantastically. There are numerous DCEU references that were just amazing. Like, he had this whole spiel about how many people has Batman indirectly killed because he didn't have the audacity to kill all of his bad guys. When Peacemaker is being questioned, he's like, "You're not a superhero." He's like, "Where's your rogues gallery?" Basically, and he's like, "They're 6 feet under the ground. That's where they are." This character, Peacemaker, they kind of made it almost like a mix of the Punisher and Captain America, with the wit of Tony Stark, almost like the quips, not necessarily his intelligence, but like his quick responses. It's really an interesting series. If you're not watching Peacemaker, you're really missing out. It is very graphic, very violent, not for younger audiences for sure. But if you like gratuitous violence, comedy, and superheroes, Peacemaker is definitely the show for you. There was a lot of little, like, subtle things that they did in this series that they didn't have to do, that just adds more context to the character. Like, you know, when you first saw Peacemaker in the Suicide Squad, you know, he's just this douchebag who, he's basically Captain America if he was a douchebag and killed everybody. A great character, loved him in Suicide Squad, but we get to see why he is the way he is, and it's really emotional. His dad really did a number on him, and he still loves him. And it shows it time and time again that he can't get past the fact that it's his dad, even how horrible he is to him, right to his face. I mean, it's a weird, interesting little, like, almost commentary on child raising. You know, if your desire is to basically warp your child into whatever you see fit, you can do it. Kids are very susceptible to just taking what their parents say. And to have him kill at such a young age really set him on a path that, you know, led to him being one in jail initially, and then killing Rick Flag, which is still haunting him to this day, and doing all the other stuff he did. It's really changed his life, and he became almost a supervillain. Even though when he was a new hero, he did take down Kite Man, which I thought was a pretty cool little sprinkle of DC goodness that I didn't expect to see. But yeah, each episode gets better and better, and I cannot wait for the next episode. It left on a huge cliffhanger, and the last two episodes actually left on really big cliffhangers, and they like really did well at paying those off, but not when you thought. Like, spoiler warning, obviously, if you haven't seen the episodes, but again, the spoiler warning window has passed. It's revealed that one of the guys who's trying to stop the butterflies, which is the quote unquote villains of the series, is a bad guy. Like, he's one of the butterflies, and it wasn't addressed until right at the end to leave you on another cliffhanger. Because definitely you don't know what's going to happen out of bio, with this very bad butterfly getting ready to attack her. It's like I said, Peacemaker is just such a great show. And I know it, when Duffy listens to this, he's going to be like, oh my God, I so totally feel the same way. Cause we've talked about how amazing this show is. And I can't wait every week for it to come out. I'm more excited about, Peacemaker than I am the Book of Boba Fett. Even though Book of Boba Fett is basically The Mandalorian season 3, sort of. Shh, don't tell anybody. Because it seems like these next two episodes are going to lead right into a very Mandalorian-centric. Look at that. I was talking about Peacemaker and circled all the way back to Mandalorian. But that's all I have for you this week, guys. And ladies and robots and aliens and whoever else or whatever else is listening. I really appreciate all your love and support. This has been a labor of love for me for over a year now, and we're just getting started. Make sure you check out all of my stuff on YouTube as well. I don't have all of my interviews yet put up through the audio only. I do the interviews live on my YouTube channel. Same name, Nerd Tween and a Movie Podcast. I just recently did a interview with both writers from the smash hit, Good Boy. I'm trying to think of the publisher office. Source Point Press. There we go. The Source Point Press smash hit, Good Boy. The good Dr. Christie, as well as Garrett Gunn, joined me last week, 2 weeks ago, live on my YouTube channel. Check it out. We had a great time. Talked about great books and dropped some great information about future titles. These two are some of the most talented writers I've ever seen. I also had the luxury of reading Postmasters, which I'll be talking about on upcoming shows, which is from Garrett Gunn. It's fantastic, absolutely fantastic. And just to hear their stories, it was amazing. So if you haven't checked that out, please do go on my YouTube channel, drop a comment on the video saying that you found me from my podcast. It'll make me feel really happy, and I respond to all likes and comments for sure. So that being said, thank you so much for joining me this week. Stay tuned for more great content coming very soon. Check out my Nerdtween comic auctions on Whatnot. I just go on Whatnot and search Nerdtween, or you can use the link in any of my Instagram bios. It's all there on my link tree. So that's my pitch. Hope you're having a great day, or whenever you're listening to this, great night, and hope to see you next week. Until then, this is Nerdpool Prime, signing off.